for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. We have a lovely new episode. This one gets to share with us the lovely journey of being a secure attachment person. So our relationships with the twin flame and oversoul, as always, with functional adults in the forefront. The 5D Mystic Enlightenment functional adult is a person who is their integrated brain, whole three-year-old heart, and they can also be just a 5D functional adult. In the Enlightenment Soul Age group, the person who is not a mystic can let us know about that stuff, but as for those of us who are in the clairland, I learned about Enlightenment Soul Age group through the spirituality and spiritual concepts, okay? So I like to bring together a lot of different things, but right now I'm trying a new blend to give a little bit less of the attachment trauma psych education and to give more storytelling. And so my throat is a little bit, as we have definitely a clearing of throat chakra going on. And that actually makes a lot of sense because we have the lunar eclipse coming up. Okay, let's start with this healthy self-worth. It's when you and your whole three-year-old heart are present in the prefrontal cortex. And so we have fun with emotions because we're emotionally accountable, mature, we are willing to be in our emotions. This is the 5D collective. So we know about how an emotion can move through us in just 90 seconds. And because we have integration of the brain, and so that ability to be connected with our left and right together, and the default mode network is down-regulated, so when I look in the eyes of another human being, mystic or not, as an integrated brain, I'm a somatic empath. I'm Stephen Porges would call a somatic empath. Daniel Siegel would call an integrated brain, a person who can be kind and compassionate. I'm going to explain it without the kind part, the compassionate. It's physiologically, you're in a state of compassion that I can also describe, but essentially, you're a person, like when my caring connection was reactive with me, I was able to maintain, my lovely regular listeners know the story, I was able to maintain the regulation of my nervous system as things came up from within me because we were engaging, we were having fun and laughing, and there was a switch. That switch was brought about by a sentence that I said in trying to ensure my friend knew where I stood on what we were building. The sentence that I said offended them, but really what it did was it triggered one of their big, big emotional triggers, and they were not in control. So they were in the red. The minute I did what I did, they were in the red, and that reactiveness made them say something. What spoke from their words had my nervous system with my embodied brain, because it's not just the nervous system, immediately have images come up from my past, which is this lifetime, not my other past stuff. That other past stuff, those are downloads. Now, what I'm describing is something that you will all know of, and that's why I try to do this storytelling. Okay, so when we have, I'm 44 years of age, I have had plenty of relationships of all types. And so the words that my friend spoke to me made me think of things in an instant. And my nervous system was flooded with emotions that wanted to come forth and to be shared, if you will, although that was why I contained all the emotions. I didn't suppress them. That's called regulating your nervous system. And that's because I'm a safe haven of myself. That's when you know how to regulate your own nervous system in a soothed state. And that's our ventral vagal state. So as I was regulating me while my friend was not, they were offline in what Stephen Porges would call the yellow and the red, but they were totally red because they totally were just speaking out of their mouth, but none of what they said was true. In fact, eventually I was able to have an exchange with them because I continued to say, I want us to talk about that moment. I want us to talk about that moment. I didn't harass my friend too much, but I wanted us to talk about that very single thing that happened because I cared, as anyone does, about their relationship. So I didn't leave it hanging. I didn't leave it silent. I chose to try and tell my friend, I want to talk about when we got into this thing. Eventually, though, my friend simply did this to reassure me, if you will. And from that moment forth, though, we also continued to have exchanges, which is why it wasn't a one and done deal. It was, there's nothing to talk about because I'm going to apologize. And their way of apologizing and their way of acknowledging that their reaction was out of line was done in their love language. Okay, so we all have a different love language. Mine is, I'm a direct communicator. I want to talk, I want to talk, I want to talk, I want to talk. Until I get that talking, I will not cease. So at a certain point when it comes to talking, here's where some people, they choose to not have that conversation, okay? And here's why, for a 5D mystic, we don't consider any of that oversoul business as a saga or a drama. It's choice points. We all make choice points, and we all can choose to want to try and address something. when you have a whole three-year-old heart, that's why you're also going to be like a hammer and a nail. You will keep on repeating yourself until you get a clear, defined answer. Okay, so in the case of when somebody wants you to know that they can acknowledge that the situation that took place is in their book, I'm so sorry. Again, this is not because they had to be sorry, but they literally were yelling at me and it was a complete, you know, loss in translation thing. So long story short, we can laugh about it together. And as I use it as an example, that's just one example of how a person who knows how to be their self won't back off. We don't back down. And what we do learn is that the people who will talk to us, they care to make sure we understand that they are sorry, you know, and this is the beauty of those people who have the awareness of the emotional plane. Okay, that's because they also have an awareness of their own emotional plane. And this is where the flow and the flow of people who grow together from the heart continues. When we have what is instead a let me shut you down, I'm actually going to go find that because we have a Patrick Tiahan quote for that one. Here, our lovely Patrick Tiahan, child observer, as I like to say, and a good therapist. He has a platform on YouTube where you can follow him for more education on childhood trauma and to raise awareness. So let's share his page. I don't always do it, but I do on here and on the videos. So it's at Patrick Tiahan Therapy. Okay, so one of his posts, he talks about in this meme, he says, a healthy family talks it over and works it out. And then he uses this, a toxic family ensures that what members have to say won't make a difference. I'm not going to read all of his posts. What I'm going to do is translate it for when you are an individual who has a whole three-year-old heart, like I do, and you know how to say, I am a whole self, I deserve an answer to something that is emotionally, mentally, physically important to me. And if I'm establishing a relationship with you, because I'm used to having a healthy family around me, I'm going to keep asking because I'm not going to feel ashamed. I'm not going to feel shame, blame, fault, or revenge, envy, spite, none of the low self-esteem. I have healthy self-worth. So I have healthy self-esteem, which also means I don't feel like this. Here's another Patrick Tiahan quote. I don't know how to be if things are not my fault. That's the difference between, no, there's not, it's not my fault. If you're emotionally upset, I don't have shit to do with your upset. If I'm talking to you, I'm going to acknowledge you. So obviously if you say, it's your fault, I'm going to say, I'm so sorry you feel that way. But inside of me, I don't have this feeling. I have the feeling of you and I are two different people. You have a brain and I have a brain. So that means you have thoughts and I have thoughts. I know our emotions are the same basic six, but I also know that my emotions run on an open heart because I don't have a unkind emotional feeling that involves attachment wounds or trauma or any type of charge against humanity. I trust humanity. So I know this, for example, where's my lovely Sadhguru? And that's why we're Pachas, by the way. I know this. If you overflow with humanity, divinity has to descend. He says divinity has to descend. Now remember, he's a spirituality guru. That's why a divine feminine and a divine masculine, I use different ways to explain to you what this is. First, your body is your divine feminine, the individual who's on an inner growth journey. Your left mode, the chit chatter, is your masculine because it breaks things down and it always is looking to be right and wrong and it tries to organize things. So usually if a person is with impaired bilateral integration, their left mode is leading them, which I will know the mystic here, as will a person like Daniel Siegel. It's not because I'm a mystic. It's because I and Daniel and others have integrated brains. So like when my friend was in their reactivity, I wasn't offended. I was not offended. I did not think they needed to be shamed, blamed, faulted, or in any way, shape, or form, let me hold resentment. Did I tease it? Yes, I went to tease with my safe environment friends about the situation. And it's because I was like, can you believe what happened to me? And I've learned, by the way, how not to do that. Because a lot of people, they judge my loved ones because they don't know that I'm not judging them like a group of gossipers. I'm just sharing something important that happened in my life. And this is the part of compassion that isn't about kindness and pink-tainted glasses. No, I have attachment and trauma information, which I know every time I'm meeting a human, if they're going to be a Pacha, or eventually I'm going to get to meet their trueness, which is Cusco, adaptive children. You got adaptive children all over the place. The ones who, in their body, like he points out, Patrick Tiahan, I don't know how to be if things are not my fault. So when inside you have a 0-1-year-old with a brokenhearted 3-year-old that thinks in a way, no, feels shame and blame and fault, that's why you're going to be an adaptive child who reacts. And that's why you're going to make it all about yourself. Because you're already in your child part without you being aware of it. And your mannerisms are like that of a 3-year-old holding their fists with the 1-year-old freaking out behind the scenes, but your teenager, which is a 14, 15, 16, is leading the way. And that's the one who says, it's unfair, and I'm going to go around and say that I'm my unbridled, whatever the fuck those people go around saying, and they silence each other. And it's like, okay, all teenagers out there, that's what I use as a word. Get used to it, my lovely community. You know this already. And anybody who's new, I know that they could use therapy. Like Patrick Tiahan points out, a lot of people, they don't actually want to go. Apparently, they want to tease, mock, and actually go insult people who are doing therapy. So on that note, I don't insult anyone, but I know of a lot of people that don't know, like Patrick Tiahan does, how his biggest childhood regret is that it made him unkind. Those of us who like to choose to want to build a snowman, I raise my hand. We know you have a heart. That's why we don't do to you what you do to us. I thank Jesus. Thank goodness I have Jesus and God. Mom, thank you. But Jesus is the one that allowed my heart to stay consistently on track. Because when I was dealing with these teenagers, which we were all told we were immature, and yes, we all were insecure. That's why we were immature. So we all can acknowledge stupidity. I know I acknowledge the stupidity of my teenage years, but I also know that I did not bring shame, blame, fault, or in any way, shape, or form, resentment or revenge to the picture, because that's people who don't have confidence. I have confidence. I know what it means. I know what it means to be confident. I'm not going to stoop down to using tactics, because see, anytime someone wants to bring to me the idea that revenge or envy or spite, and this was even before having the attachment trauma information that lets me know you're a child inside who's not able to know the difference between it's not your fault. Even if I tell it to you, you're in your 0-1-year-old, 3-year-old, and you're the one who's oblivious to your implicit memory because you don't have the attachment trauma information. And there's a buttload of people who say, I don't believe it. So they go around not believing when they're adaptive children presenting their case, and their left mode is leading the way, and they're not having a conversation. No, they're having what is going to be, I instinctively am reactive. No, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to make it all about me. I'm going to use the emotion, and I'm going to project. And this is passive aggressive, indirect communicators. They don't know how to actually enjoy conversation. They have also low self-esteem. In fact, they give themselves away to the lowest bidder. When you see any drama kings, queens, or they are with people who have unhealthy self-worth just like they do. And you will notice how they treat each other. That's why there's a great thing called couples therapy. Thank you, Terry Real. That way he can be the man who helps all those individuals who have impaired bilateral integration, Daniel Siegel, Patrick Tiahan, all the therapists. They can help anyone who wants to learn to love themselves first. I'm for the people who already know the idea of loving yourself first and being yourself is awesome, but it's all about love, not unrequited. Let me not apologize to you. No, if you project, I'll catch it. I'll be like, I don't know. I'll think about it. So as a grown-up, I've learned how to actually silence myself because I had practice as a teenager. Okay, and I wanted to read to you one more quote from our lovely Patrick Tiahan as he shares something important about the lowest bidder. And let's see, right here. So let's stop giving ourselves away to the lowest bidder And he says, I forget where I heard the term lowest bidder in terms of dating, but it makes so much sense to me. As childhood trauma survivors, our sense of self-worth is off. And a symptom of that is dating beneath us. We don't know what we have to offer, so we tend to date people just because they show interest. We are missing a crucial discerning part because we are dating from a place of survival around abandonment rather than making a conscious choice about finding a good enough healthy person, or at least not a disaster. Before treatment, he says, I would date from a place of please, love, and tolerate me. This is something, I'm not laughing because it's funny, I'm laughing because I have a different story for this one. As a teenager, it was more of, if you love me, you're going to tolerate me, and I'm going to tolerate you, and if you call me a ball and a chain, well, fuck you, that's not what I am. And you're going to put up with me, and you're going to smile about it. And if you don't, then you're going to break up at some point, because that means you're going to not want to be with me. But other than that, you're going to have to put up with me. I'm putting up with you too, but I'm going to have fun doing it. So that's why already I'm like, no, you're not tolerating me like this. If you feel this way about me, I'm going to be like, look, dude, we obviously no match here. I'm sorry. You should have. And you know, I've had relationships where I have gotten information eventually, and I'm just going to say that I don't address things from the past because the past is the past. But when I heard about this shit, I was like, that made me angry. And then in my head, I'm like, they wasted 4 years of my life and their life because I could have told them that from day one, this isn't going to work. In fact, the same person did tell me, I thought you would change. Now, we're awesome friends, they're family. I love them to death. When I first found out these things, though, that they never disclosed to me, I had to hear this from other people. I was very angry. But then I remembered. I know their personality. And I know exactly how they handled everything. And so it makes and made sense for their way of being. Because that's what a person who's a partner knows, is we get to figure out how we emotionally cope with things. So I know my, at the time, boyfriend. And, oh man, anyways, it's something that, again, the difference when you have healthy self-worth is it's not because you're interested in me. In fact, the other hilarious part is I was not interested in this man, but his friends got him thinking that I was just because I did this nice thing, feeding him a French fry. That's how close-minded his friends were. And I laughed in his face when he told me this because I was like, no, I was just being nice and I can't believe that your friend said that. And this is hilarious, but we're a couple now. So, I mean, I guess we can thank your friends because otherwise you would have never tried hitting on me. But just so you know, I had no interest in you whatsoever. Not because you're not cute. He's a cute person. But because I literally was not interested. I was actually in the process of healing my own heart from a relationship I had recently gotten out of. So I wasn't ready to be. In fact, I started our entire relationship saying, let's just date because I am still processing stuff. I wasn't interested in them at all. But eventually, this person and I were seeing each other every day. So I said, okay, this is buffoonery. I'm seeing you every day. We might as well be a couple because this is not dating anymore. We're literally spending, you know, 7 days upon 7 days. And so that's how the relationship moved into where we became a couple. And it was a beautiful 4 years. In fact, when they broke up with me, I had a hunch. And here's where every one of us is a pattern. I'll never forget the 7 days prior to when he makes the call, because there is this thing that he would always do, no matter whether it would rain or be, there could have been a storm, he would have called me so that he could say goodnight. And he skipped the phone call. And I asked him, why didn't you call me? And he said, it rained. And I said, huh. But this is the part of what a person that is a mature human being doesn't do, is assume, I bet he's cheating on me. No, I don't think of any of what I eventually uncovered as something that was a plot and hidden. It's actually very straightforward human behavior when they don't know how to just say, hey, guess what? I don't like you anymore. That's it. Seriously. And I would not. No, I have done it. Yes, I've done it. I've done it, but in a different way. Okay, so when I've had men throughout the years present to me that they're still into me in a certain way, I make sure they know I'm not into you that way. And when I've actually had to hear certain other things, that means I am not going to come near you ever again, especially not alone, because you didn't hear what I just said. And I know it because of what you repeated back to me, which means your ears are clogged and I'm not going to have anything to, you know, I'm 4'9". I'm just saying. So the minute that I'm made aware that what I just spoke to you made no sense in the words of "we're just friends, keep your hands to yourself," I'm gonna make sure that, yeah. And FYI, as a woman, I do know my men friends tell me all the time that we're sex objects. So I actually do my best to make sure to be very clear on I don't want to fuck you, even if I'm polyamory. That has nothing to do with anything. And this is my tone of, it makes me very upset, but I definitely know how to make sure to speak up because of my men friends telling me, "Maria, you have to." So I don't like that, but I have noticed, yes, there are no men that will say, "Hey, guess what? I just want to fuck you and then I'm done with you." I want to meet that man so I can say, "No, but I really appreciate you and I want to interview you for my podcast," because I want people to see the face of the man who has the balls, actual balls, to at the very least say, "I'm a man, and in my opinion, and I want to fuck everything that's walking around." And so I want to, you know, I'm just saying, like, seriously, stereotypes, I don't like them. I cringe at every one of them. Okay, so let's finish up with lovely Patrick Tiahan. Okay, so before treatment, he would date from a place of please, love, and tolerate me, which got me into a lot of messes. He says, "As we get healthier, we realize that we are being lowballed in terms of our worth by someone who either isn't a good fit or is abusive while being mediocre." And he says, "Isn't that cringe? But we have all dated abusive and mediocre." I have not personally, but again, I'm not a childhood trauma survivor, so I'm just making sure you know, some of us, we don't do that. We don't do abusive and mediocre. "And when we look back," he says, "we realize we went along with the lowest bidder who wasn't healthy and didn't see us. We were set up for that by not having a safe home base that valued us growing up." And that is the part of why we want to create awareness, my lovely listeners, that there are secure attachment people, but that you will not be taken by those who don't want healthy self-worth partners. They will reject you. They will throw you in the trash. It has nothing to do with you. If you need to be told this, then you are not a secure attachment person. When I heard this attachment trauma guy, he's the best one out of the ones that I've met on TikTok. The other ones are seriously they're not yet over their own stuff. Okay, so this guy, he was talking about avoidant attachment, and he was giving the same message that I see all of them. It's not your fault. It's like, some of us know it's not. We're not clueless like that. And I am laughing again. I'm laughing because a healthy, self-worth human being will not feel, "Oh my God, you broke up with me. It's my fault. I did something wrong." But thanks, Mom. I need to thank my mom, because she's the one who kept on repeating to me as a child, "You're not the mother. Stop doing that with your sister, making sure everything, because I'm a nurturer." And even with her, "Stop trying to be my mother. You're not my mother. You're the child. Be the child. Be the child." So I got repeated over and over and over again how not to be a nurturer, which is instead what I am. I love being a nurturer, but that's the part. They helped me. My entire oversoul has helped me to learn how not to be a nurturer to anyone except for my lovely old self right here as I get older and older. And yes, another word came to my brain. So as a woman who's nurturing my own heart and my own mind, you can better bet I'm having a good time, girls, women out there, women. We're not the girls laughing and giggling about marriage. No, I'm 44. There ain't marriage or wedding bells. Like I said, if I meet the guy, I'm going to say, "I shake your hand. I'm seriously not interested, though. I'm so sorry." As FYI, because you probably fuck everything, so you also have STDs and some shit going on. But besides that, I appreciate you. I just don't want to. That's not my thing. So I need to get to know you first. If I get to know you, maybe I'll change my mind. That's where our grace is over here. Gray asexual, for anyone who's curious. Polyamory, yes. We're a group of people. We don't like to go fucking around. Are under umbrella of polyamory. The polygamy, they are good with doing the whole let's exchange sexual partners. That's a little bit of education here, Polysecure. It's a great book for you all if you're polyamory interested. And being a secure attachment person means you can say, hey, I love more than one person and I don't know what I want to do with my body, my life. It's mine. You can accept it or leave it, but that's where it stands. Once again, there's not even one flinching of an eyelash when you know how to be your whole three-year-old heart. Like I told the one guy when he's like, I thought you would change. Really? What? Did you not meet me? So this is what happens when people say, you can't know that you'll always be the same. Well, I can. The energy of me waking up and going to sleep, that can change because, you know, I get older and sleeping patterns change. But our energy body, like our lovely Sadhguru shares, doesn't have to. And in fact, it doesn't change when your whole three-year-old heart, though. What does is the physical body. That one gets older, and we all know what happens as we get older. We get all wrinkled up. Let me see if I can find. I love that quote that he shares, but I have so many. This one is one of the best ones. The greatest gift you can give to another human being is to accept, respect, and love them, which is what a 5D mystic, a secure attachment person, shares with people. And in fact, we listen to everyone. But never let what they say determine how you are. And there you go, right again. So here, we don't change. Let's repeat it, my three-year-old. Being yourself is very easy and it's fun. Because we're present, though. That means you're in your prefrontal cortex. So you get to be curious, open, accepting, and loving. Cool. Which is why when my boyfriend did not call me, I did not get upset. I did not assume. I did not do any of that. Now, when people have given me reason for, what can I say, silent treatment is not very nice. So reading and then not responding, yes, I have had a thing or two to do with definitely understanding how to handle that one. So we'll get to that one at some other point. But all I'm saying is healthy self-worth partners, they don't do shit like that. And healthy self-worth people don't do shit like that. And as our story began, what they do when somebody who has healthy self-worth keeps saying, I want to talk, I want to talk, I want to talk, by the third time, you're going to get an answer that they care to explain themselves. And you will get a way that you can harmonize the relationship. When on the other hand, this is not, they will be determined to have you in a dark hole with no answer, and they don't come to see if you're okay, not okay. You've been locked out kind of thing. You've been locked away, okay? So you're totally booted, and like being booted out of a game, but you don't know that you've been booted out. You just understand, this is interesting. That still doesn't give me stuff, but I guess I'll just keep, you know, working my way to wherever I'm going, because you're booted out of just one area, okay? So here's, again, Patrick Tihan, let's finish with him. So let's stop engaging, as he says, with low bidders. The low bidders who want a relationship, but they refuse to work on themselves. They want control and supply versus being a partner. And they make us chase when they are not worth chasing. I'm going to say nobody needs to chase anyone. But then again, he is a childhood trauma survivor. So he has chased people. Yes, that's where some of us, we don't chase. The minute that you let me know I'm not the one, in whatever way it is, it doesn't matter. Okay, got the message. See you later, alligator. And that's it. And we begin the process of healing of our own emotional plane. Because of course, when you're breaking up in any way, shape, or form, there's a process that takes place. And like with my boyfriend, the one who broke up with me all of a sudden, I still was trying to negotiate with him to be in a relationship. And I'll never forget, this is how you also know people love you, by the way. Even though, again, I have not mixed feelings. I know he loves me. He's always cared. He's a beautiful human being. The part that he didn't share, that he already had spotted somebody. But this is where he's more of what I find common with a bunch of people that don't know how to legit just say, look, I know this may be hard to hear, But I found some women. I'm interested in different women than you. I've found, and that would have been something that we could have talked about, though, because I was open to being in an open relationship. So he could have also presented that. He's not. He's a monogamous human being who, in fact, has a traditional marriage. And the aspect, though, that I'm trying to present is he could have said the truth to my face on the phone if he had had a whole three-year-old heart, like I'm sharing with you all, because when you are a person who has not been shamed or made to feel that you need to tend to another person's emotional plane, you will know complete independence. You're 0-1-year-old, you're 3-year-old. So when I'm talking to a person, I'm not your mother. I'm not here to nurture you like I was told. I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm here to have a conversation with you. If you tell me you're upset, then I'll say, I'm so sorry. But if you project to me you're upset, I won't be saying I'm sorry without knowing that I won't be hanging out with you anymore. Because you just did this thing called, you should have done it better. And I did not know that reading your mind was part of the equation of being in a relationship. And it ain't happening because I don't plan on trying to use my brain power to read your mind. If you don't know how to tell me what you want, I ain't going to try to get to figure it out. That's not how I'm going to work. And there you go. Okay, so the part about how a healthy self-worth person does things is we will not be with a low bidder. We will not accept the low bidder. When somebody doesn't want to talk, we're going to try to figure things out. And if they, you know, don't want it, it's fine. We'll figure out how to just keep moving forward and nothing happened. No big deal. All good. Where's the next person that we get to love? That's how it works. You grow how much you love, not less. You get more playful, not more hard. No, the people who's like, it's so hard to love Maria. No, not really. I don't trust anyone. Well, there you go. That's your problem. You don't trust anyone. But they all lie. Well, you know, it takes confidence to be a person of emotional and mental and physical upfrontness. Like I said, I love my lovely friend. And yet they, to me, in Maria's book, they omitted information that they didn't have to, for one, that they found challenging to tell me because they did not evaluate how can I, with emotional, and you know, here's the part, I have to say it, no matter how many ways I've been afraid of being rejected as I became a mystic and polyamory and all of these things, I never once said I'm going to lie about who I am to someone that I'm deciding I want to engage in more than just a friendship. And even my friends, though, and my colleagues, the people I work with, every person that is in my herd will know what I'm doing because it's important for me that you have the opportunity to say, I don't want to be associated to you. You have every right to tell me that. This is what healthy self-worth means. It means I know that you might not want to be associated to me because of so many people out there who actually choose to not be associated to each other. And there's jobs too. I've literally told people I love, I've said, if you ever need to be disconnected from me, please tell me. I will not be offended. And I'm not joking with them. I'm being serious. I don't know if they understand it. I am very serious because we live in a world which unfortunately is still full of discrimination. I'm a mystic. I'm considered an evil bitch and an evil witch by people. This is not a joke, my lovely listeners. You will find people who will look at you and they will think, I don't notice because I literally don't notice this stuff. But I do my best to be as genuine and authentic as I can. And that's it. So you try to hang out with the people that will accept you. You also make sure you tell your herd, it's cool, don't worry. I'm a big person. I'm a grown up. I understand how the world works. And when it comes to job, it's very important. If somebody has to keep their job, they may have to disassociate it. Any of you who are mystics, please remember this. We're not yet in a place where those lovely lawmakers and out there in the entire different countries are up to par. So long story short, I know for me as an independent online entrepreneur, I don't have to deal with certain things, but other people, they work with other people. So, and I don't want to be too serious because I don't think the world is headed that way either, but you never know. And so it's best to let people that you love know that you're cool with them having to part ways for important reasons, and that you don't take things personally, because really, and here's what it is to be a spirituality process. When Sadhguru says you put your personality to the side, all this is a human being who's an emotional, mental, and physical grown-up who has a healthy self-worth ego. We don't get rid of the self. You use your name. People are distorting the spirituality journey because, well, the long story for that one, but they're spirituality bypassers. Like when somebody says, you can't be an enlightened person. Oh, really, Zen master? I didn't know you were the one who ruled it all. Oh, based on who is it? Who's your Wendy? Ah, I see, that's your Wendy. So cool. Nice to know you, Peter Pan. Lost boys are the only ones who are going to be like, yeah, you can't be an enlightened person. You know why? I have my Zen master who told me. And you'll be like, oh, yes, I'm not an enlightened person. I actually am just a restorative embodied self human being. There's so many different words that I can use for the same thing. Okay, let's get back to it. I wanted to do some storytelling. When you have fun with the people you love, you don't ask them or beg for their attention. They don't ask or beg for your attention, and nobody's lying to anybody. And when people basically do things where they omit, we're like, whatever, it happens. So long story short, I've understood, and even with that boyfriend, that every person doesn't know how to say the truth. But I got used to it. In fact, I'm not surprised when I don't bother. Like I was saying, a healthy self-worth person isn't going to be in another person's head. It's only what you tell me that I'm going to know. If you don't tell me shit, I don't know shit. I don't want to know shit. Now, there's a difference when somebody's holding back, but we're not going to talk about that one because here we are talking about secure attachment relationships. Okay. When you are not dating beneath yourself, when you are not accepting that people treat you like shit, that's a very good place to be. It means you know how to love yourself. When you know how to give your heart and give your hand and to be there, even if somebody does not reciprocate, what does this mean? The Rumi quote is important. That's why we don't have sagas or dramas, and we don't do anything with our twin flames, our soulmates, our oversoul. No cutting cords. We love from our heart. And that soul doesn't have to be called a soul. It's from the center view as a whole person who knows I'm flawed, you're flawed. I'm imperfect, you're imperfect. I can lie, you can lie. I will not be able to prove my intent. You will not be able to prove your intent. If we care for each other, we will demonstrate it by walking together. And we will demonstrate it because we will walk a walk and talk a talk, and it will keep on matching and be completely harmonious and completely beautiful. And this is the sweetness of when you are in a herd like Ice Age with a Manny and actually it's better because Manny is an avoidant. Sid is a clingy, clingy person. And Diego, I mean, come on, Diego was with a herd that was completely just like killing each other. That was even the worst. He found a good herd. Diego got to find his humanity because he was taken out of what was really not in any way, shape or form. And there are people that have that. Okay, so remember, there are people that have a family like a Diego's family, and they won't be able to make a conscious choice until they meet a baby, maybe, like the baby in Ice Age that has him being connected to a herd, and for enough time to where he experiences what actual herd means, and that they care, because Manny saves Diego, as Diego's about to fall into the pit of fucking fire, and he's scratching his trunk, and as he's climbing up this nose, Manny is in a lot of physical pain. And then when Diego's out, he's like, shit, my herd would never fucking do that. They would have left me dying. Because Manny, I forget how he asks him, Diego asks him, why'd you do that? And he's like, that's what you do in a herd. And so Diego got to learn what a herd actually means. This is the beauty of secure attachment figures in people's lives. And this makes a difference for who will not have that. And while these are movies, we have people who are not surrounded by any secure attachment figures. They're only surrounded by adaptive children who are Cuscos, who are just there's just so many of them. There's so many people who think that they are doing the right thing by presenting to people who have flaws and imperfections what is shame, and they're shaming them. These people don't know their inner child, and so when they get shamed and then their herd casts them away, they're not going to get better. They're just going to find another herd. This is why the 4D collective does a disservice. And so I see sometimes herds that do this. I am not a part of those herds in that way. I'm actually the difference. And I'm always thinking, any person that I've met that I know might need a friend, I'm trying to make sure in my brain that I get to see and make sure they're okay and that they're doing well. Like my one friend, I want to know how my one friend is doing, the one that teases me about polyamory, because he's a type. But that doesn't mean that they get to move into their adult self. It just means that they have a person that they can know if they ever want. Is a safe haven, secure base, because every one of you and I have the body that calls us home to the restorative embodied self. Mine is there. Yours can get there. And so what this means is that there's a natural, organic draw to a person who's healthy self-worth if you're choosing health for yourself. Okay? And as we close on out, I want to share a story. So when people unconditionally love each other and they accept flaws and imperfections and they don't hold any kind of fucking strings attached, don't matter. We do Manny, Diego, Sid, and the baby, okay? So the vision and visual that I had to share with our lovely episode, I want to get it out. And remember, it's a little bit of channeled guidance as our lunar eclipse comes up, my lovely listeners. Okay, so you're out in the jungle and you're on a safari. It's a fun, treat the safari like the world. Because we do know the world isn't safe all the time and we have a lot of shit to do, okay? So you, and we're going to talk with divine masculine, divine feminine, but they're whole, okay? So remember, every divine masculine has their own divine feminine and vice versa. And so we have a whole three-year-old heart. You know who you are. You do not in any way, shape, or form date beneath yourself. You don't do Sco, you do Pacha. We got two Pachas in a room. They're in a safari, okay? So they're going on a safari, which means they're on their adventure of a life. And they have learned enough about each other to where there's a tango, there's a dance. They have also had moments where, you know, you tease each other in ways that are uncomfortable. I don't like teasing because I don't understand a joke. But I know that the people who love me, they figure me out and they know how to make sure I know that they care. That's the part about what a herd is. So I have plenty of beautiful stories with my twin flames, my soulmates. They're all here. Okay. And also people, Cusco's, all of it. But you got Pachas around you. Okay. But we're going to do the one-on-one with each other so that mono amory people can feel included. Okay. So with that being said, we're on a safari. We've had our stuff. And we know how to make sure we care about each other. Okay, so the caring means our safari flips over. Because I think, I got a hunch, you slapped me behind my head. I feel that something, I'm not sure. I'm not sure my partner slapped me. I'm going to be the divine feminine, okay? That's what we got in a oversoul twin flame dynamics. I'm going to try and use what I can to make it helpful for, again, all of these situations. And remember, the only difference of the two is that the divine feminine is a nurturer with a protector. Divine masculine is a protector, nurturer. So the divine masculine has a sense of humor that sometimes is childish. They don't lose. Because yeah, the energy of the masculine is a little bit rougher, so they might do something and they think they're being funny. It's not funny, but they think they're being funny, and you're like, dude, you, what the fuck? Okay, so you get up, the Jeep is down, and you're like, okay, did that just happen? Okay, so let's say we have a healthy partnership and this tango dance is happening on purpose. Okay, let's just put it that way. At a certain point, you're going to be told, yes, you know what? I was kidding. I'm so sorry. My bad. I literally, legit, yes, I slapped you in the back of the head, but I was trying to make a joke, something like that. Okay, so let's, again, playing this role, you have a person who takes accountability. They talk about what's going on, and you get to just, you know, you get the Jeep back up, and you keep going, and you get to go explore the world. But let's say that we got something different. Let's say they're still playing a joke on you. So they did slap you behind the head, and now they've run off, and you're like not knowing where your masculine is. You're like, what the fuck? I need to go find him, because you're a nurturer. You're not going to leave them out in the woods. It don't matter if you're afraid or not afraid. You're going to say, let me go find them. Plus, you need their help to get the Jeep up, because, you know, you're feminine. And really, I know this is not meant to, but I can't lift shit by myself. Okay, I'm just saying. So remember who your host is. So I'm going to go look for them, because I'm going to be like, my back might break. I don't know. And plus, I'm not sure where they are at. So the reality is, if somebody, you and somebody are on a safari, you're going to want to go look for them if you're a healthy, self-worth person. You're not going to leave any person there. Okay, so putting the masculine feminine, you're going to want to see what's going on. So you start going towards the jungle and you think they might be right there because maybe they fell. You don't know. So let's say I see you and you keep running and you're playing a game. If you're playing a game, sooner or later you stop. You come with me. You tell me you're playing. We get to the Jeep. You help me to get the Jeep up, okay? That's what healthy partnerships do. If, on the other hand, you keep running, I'm going to, because I'm not chasing you, I'm actually trying to get you to come back to safety with me. Because again, you're in the middle of the jungle. We don't know what's out there. I want to get back. And we're having a fun ride. We're on our ride of life, okay? So we want to keep doing the life safari. So if I'm running because I'm trying to get you, at a certain point, I will notice that I'm running and I will say, wait a minute, I'm also getting into the danger zone. I'm going to go back. I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to assume. I'm going to leave. I will figure out a way to get that Jeep up, and then I keep going on the safari. And this is what it is to be a secure attachment human being, whether you're divine feminine with your own divine masculine or vice versa. It's simply put, prefrontal cortex. Okay, so emotions, they last 90 seconds. Rumination is what has people doing the saga shit. And it's shit. It's all shit. I mean, I know, again, human suffering love group, but there's plenty of good therapists trying to help people. Stop, you know, giving yourself to the lowest bidder. Get into secure attach, da 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 da. So I'm already here saying you are love. They are love. Everybody deserves it. Nobody chases. You don't chase people. You try to have what is, I want to talk. You want to talk? I want to talk. I want to talk about this because I care about you and I care about us and I care about our relationship and I want our relationship to keep on moving however it has to, because you can move to the back seat or the side. You know, this is the part. We can recalibrate, but I want our safari run to run together, which is why we don't have sagas with our twin flame or flames or our soulmates. It's a bullshit story. It's a bullshit story for a person who knows how to be their self. Okay, so healthy self-worth people. You have a herd and it keeps on growing. So by the time you get back to the truck, if they're joking, you're going to know, because they're going to say, okay, so, hey, Maria, I want to tell you a story. Oh, I love those stories, by the way. When you get to hear stories from your loved ones, oh, I have so many stories. So I can already imagine, because yes, divine masculines, they have a sense of humor. I don't know why, but when they do, they do. I don't have a sense of humor though. So I get to laugh when they share with me their stories. And they get to laugh. I try to have people laugh too. But another side note. Okay, as the lunar eclipse comes about, you're going to have a lot of beautiful, engaging relationship stuff go on, my lovely listeners. And if you're 5D, then you're having a good time. You're not in any of the human suffering love shit. And if any of you are, I don't mean to say it's shit. We all have shit going on, but you can learn to be emotionally accountable, emotionally mature, emotionally available to yourself. And there are people that are secure attachment like me that don't shame, blame, fault, or revenge. We do direct communication. When somebody's holding back, we know, I know, as a divine feminine, but any somatic empath will know, because our nervous systems, they calibrate. So I will be able to feel if you're open-hearted with me, and you will be able to feel if you are a person who's completely an integrated brain. If you have any biases, any assumptions, any shit that comes up, your chit-chatter, you're not yet in the present moment. This is why people that know me, they will say, the ones who are aware of the danger, they say you're naive. And that's a good word to use, but I'm not naive. I consciously choose to go into any relationship in the absence of me using any of the past. This is also why, thank you, Sadhguru, the Enlightenment Soul Aid Group, thank you, Daniel Siegel, being curious, open, accepting, and loving. He teaches people who only do a job. I'm talking to people who want to be their own, one, safe haven, secure base, but also to be able and be a secure attachment figure for somebody else. Because at the end of the day, when I look into your eyes, you're a human. I use stories, but when I share with you the Pacha handshake, I, Maria, as a teenager, chose, I look in your eyes, you're human. I know that if I hit you on the head, you're going to bleed like I do. And if I say something mean to you, your heart's going to break like mine. No matter what bullshit story you want to tell me, I know you have a heart because I can see you. I don't need a fictitious story to make my heart or my brain think anything different of the moment that I receive an unkind act. This is the beauty of groundedness in sciences. I may be woo-woo pseudoscience because of being a mystic, but I know the sciences. So whenever I'm in the presence of people, they're not demons, they're not evil, they're not any of that. And if there is any evil, it's from a scale of Michael Stone, a forensic criminologist. Because that scale, 1 to 22, it has all the people in there, and they all need a good therapist. So when we look in the eyes of people, we see people. And most people don't know that they have unfinished business. So when I have some person, like my friend who teases in his ways, my one friend with polyamory, I enjoy that person's personality. And I get sad to know that they get treated in a way, but I understand that they are in need of support and help. But that's the part. I don't care. They don't offend me. I have fun. So I can be that one friend that allows this person to just learn something different with their jokes, because they have some jokes that set people off. I literally laugh. So we'll close on out with this one. This person, in one of the moments we were sharing this cute picture, it was Christmas time, they called me a witch, basically. And yes, an evil witch. So this is the Italian, on Epiphany, they have Befana is her name, Befana, which, by the way, she's not technically a witch. She's an old lady who's grumpy. So still, and in fact, once he shared this comment, he's like, I hope I didn't offend you. I said, no, you made me laugh. Technically, I could be an evil witch or a bitch or an evil old lady when I get old. Who knows? So I laughed my ass off and they laughed their ass off. And that's what humor is when you have healthy self-worth, because, man, people are so boring with their chips on the shoulders. But I'm sure my love is going to get remember healthy self-worth partners and just people in general. They tease, but they allow you to know what's going on. If there's splinters and ruptures, some people don't know how to repair because they didn't get taught it. But if they see that you're open to communicating and being in a relationship, you're going to know. They're going to tell you, hey, I want to repair that thing over there, you know. So again, healthy self-worth, unconditional love. And that's why no sagas, no drama. Our lovely 5D mystics in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group, our lovely functional adults, when it comes to twin flames and our oversoul, when it comes to our herd, we have secure attachment relationships. That's what IHP is all about, because being yourself is all about your herd. It's not about only you. We are all three-year-olds. And we learn how to share the room and have fun with it. And FYI, for my solo poly, we have it the best because, yeah, we don't do any negotiation. It's all relationship anarchy and non-hierarchical. We are the quote-unquote misfits of relationships, which makes it even more fun. And that's why healthy self-worth partners have fun with us, because, you know, it's again, you are irreplaceable. And I will let you know, nobody can be like you. You know that, right? And when you find the people who, like, yeah, nobody can be like me, but they have to be... I haven't met that type yet. Well, we'll keep talking. I'm pretty sure we'll get there. Just right now I'm thinking of my one friend, the one who teases me. He went about it this way. Once I explained to him what solo polyamory is, he's like, you're intimidating. I was like, what? No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'm a stupid man. No, you're not. Why are you offending yourself? And he legit meant it. Like, he was trying to let me know, don't talk to me about smart things because I'm not... you know, this is the sad part. He doesn't realize that I know that he meant it and he's not stupid. this is what an avoidant will do. An avoidant will literally take themselves out of the game because they don't want to invest, because their heart's saying, I'm not worthy. They're going to discover that I'm a fraud. Any person who has still shame, they think inside they're a fraud. And therefore, they're always scared, and they don't make the move because they think that we're going to say you're a fraud, which they don't think, they feel. Now remember, nobody's a fraud. We're all whole thrilled hearts here. Well, some need to be shown the way. So let's support people to find their wholeness. And we're going to have a lot of fun. I know it for sure. As personal development, being yourself, and secure attachment, functional adult relationships go, we learn to be the example for having fun and having love and knowing how to respect, accept, and give this beautiful gift. So Sadhguru, that lovely quote, it is, let's read it one more time. The greatest gift you can give to another human being is to accept, respect, and love them. And I'm going to add, unconditionally love them just the way they are. We'll be back again with more. Have a great day.